This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
James chapter 1 and verse 25, because we're going to put these same points up that we used Wednesday and Sunday, and I'm going to just expand on them today. We looked at three spiritual laws that will bless your life. And musicians, don't go too far away, because we're going to get you back up here at the end of the service. And so these are three spiritual laws that God uses to bless your life. The first one is the perfect law of liberty. James chapter 1, verse 25 says, For whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, be he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You say, well, that sounds pretty good. What is the perfect law of liberty? It is the Word of God. The perfect law of liberty is the Word of God. And what does this Word do? It brings liberty. It brings freedom. It brings emancipation from all the bondages of life, from sin, from fear, from guilt, because He has remitted our sins. You know what remission means? Remission means cancellation of penalty and removal of guilt and shame. Amen. Glory to God. That's what the blood of Jesus does for you and me. And we have faith in His blood, don't we? And so what's it? It's revealed in His Word. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And the Bible says people get born again by the foolishness of preaching. I mean, some people look in the windows here and say, boy, that's a bunch of foolishness in there. No, but it's what transforms lives. It is what changes nations. It's the power of God unto salvation. And the gospel is the good news that will liberate and set you free from fears, from sickness, disease, from condemnation, all of these things, glory to God. So it's the perfect law of liberty. And that's why we've got to give time for the Word of God. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, or 2, verse 5, yeah, 2 verse 4. It says, no man that warreth. Now, that's an old English word for war. How many know we're in a bit of a warfare? We're to contend for the faith, fight the good fight of faith. So we're in a warfare, and it says, no man that's in that warfare or warreth gets entangled with the affairs of this life. In other words, the natural carnal things of this life, yes, we have to do them. I took out the garbage this morning. You got to brush your teeth. I helped my wife with the dishes last night. We got to do those things. But you know, there are some things that we can eliminate because they're taking us out of our spiritual mode. They're taking us out of our Psalm 91 secret place. They're taking us over into a carnal place, and we need to remain spiritual and not let these things of life pull us down. Even the stealers. Come on now. Amen. Keep it in perspective. Whatever your desire is, the races, NASCAR, whatever it is. Huh? Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know what made me think of this, but the guy says, you know, the toothbrush was made in Arkansas. Because had it been invented anywhere else, it would have been called a teeth brush. You'll get that in a minute. Anyhow, I don't know why I said that. Anyhow, moving right along. The perfect law of liberty is the Word of God. And what it will do, it will liberate you, set you free from bondage to heroin and cocaine and marijuana or pornography, whatever it might be. The Word, the perfect law of liberty, when you put it in, guess what? It's going to set you free. You're going to be liberated. And so, when you act on it, listen, if you can't sleep at night, get the Word out, the Amen. Perfect law of liberty. Amen. Use your iPhone. Get some good preacher to preach in your ear. Amen. All right? If you're anxious, if you're anxiety-ridden, if you're fearful, if you've got worry on your mind all the time, put the Word on. It's the perfect law of liberty, and it will bring peace to your life. Oh, my. I spent too much time on that one. Second one, the law of faith. Romans 3:27. Romans 3:27. Now, we looked at all these, so I'm just basically reviewing a little bit here. Romans 3:27. Romans 3:27 says, where is their boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Everybody say the law of faith. This is the law of faith, and we need to know about faith because it is involved with believing, faith, trusting in God's word. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy.
Amen.
And so four times in the Bible, it says the just shall live by faith. The third one then is the law of the spirit of life. The law of the spirit of life, Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For whom the Son is set free is free indeed, right? And so we're free by the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And so all we need to do is speak words of life. For faith-filled words will dominate the laws of sin and death. They will, and they will liberate you. But now today, I'm going to move one step further, and I'm going to give you a fourth law. Are you ready for this one? How many are ready for this one? Four of you, all right? The next one is James chapter 2 and verse 4. This law is the one we're going to preach about today, and this one is called the royal law. Ooh, what is the royal law? Let's take a look here. James chapter 2 and verse 8 tells us, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. So the royal law is about loving our neighbor. It's about knowing about God's love for us, getting a handle on that, getting it down in our spirit, but it's also about loving one another. And Jesus even takes it a step further and says, as I have loved you. Oh, wow. I'm going to love these people. That's my aspiration, my goal, is to love them as he loves me. Now, that's a tall order. Amen. But how many believe if Jesus told us to do it, we can do it? And so the royal law is the law of love. The royal law, praise God. And the first three laws are dependent on this fourth one if you want to get optimum results. Why? Because Galatians 5, 6 says faith works by love. By the way, this isn't the perfect law of bondage. It's a perfect law of what? Liberty. And so faith works by love. In other words, when we'll walk in love, when we'll walk in that love zone, that power zone, as I call it, good things are going to happen. There's going to be transformation. Now, go over with me to 1 John. So the royal law is the law of love. And this one makes all the rest of them work. 1 John 4:16. Notice what it says here. 1 John 4:16, it says, and we have known and believed. See, there's knowing it, and there's believing it. When you're believing it, see, you're relying on it. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. Say that with me.
God is love.
Now, look at this. Now, it says we have known and believed. One translation says it this way. We have come to know, and we have come to believe. Sounds to me like there's a process involved. Sounds to me like it might take some time to get it from my head to my heart. Sounds like it might take some time for it to become revelation knowledge to me that God loves me. You know, here's a good way to get that down in your spirit. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Why don't you just put your own name in there? For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We see that love on the cross demonstrated as Jesus suffered and died for us. That is the depiction of God's love for us. So, get a handle on God's love. And it says we can know and believe and come to know and come to believe what this love will do for us. God loves you with an everlasting love. And notice what it says there. in verse 16. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. And God in him. Dwelling in love, you are dwelling in God himself, because he is love. Now let me ask you a question. If you're dwelling in love and you're dwelling in God, what more do you need in life? If you're dwelling in God, because he's going to protect you. He's going to heal you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to deliver you. He's going to save you, glory to God. He's going to see that every need is met.
Amen, Pastor.
Why? We are dwelling in him. When you dwell in love, you are dwelling in God himself, and you have everything that you are needed, that you need, because you are encompassed by the El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. Amen? The blessing, the healing, whatever it is that you need. Point number one today, I got some points for you, okay? Guy says, I'm like a fat man preaching his way through a barbed wire fence. You know, I got a point here and a point there. Anyhow, point number one, when you dwell in love, when you dwell in love, you are enveloped by God himself. You are encompassed by God himself. Let me say that again. When you dwell in love, you are enveloped by God himself. You know, I like that song that we sing here. You know, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. When it looks like I'm surrounded, well, I'm surrounded by you. You are surrounded by him. When you're dwelling in love, you are dwelling in Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord my banner, Jehovah Shalom. So when you're dwelling in love, you're dwelling in peace. Shalom. And his perfect love, it says, casts out all fear. And when the fear is gone, now your faith is free to work at its optimum. And that's another reason why your faith works much, much better when you walk in the love realm, when you adhere to the royal law, because his glory is upon you and you can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. His presence comes on the scene to dispel enemy forces. Remember what it says over there in Isaiah 60? Arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee, and his glory shall be seen on thee. Why? Because you're abiding in love and you're dwelling in God. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Place of protection. I remember one time, the Lord just reminded me about this, that there was I got a phone call from a guy. Anyhow, long story short, there was a girl that came to the church, a lady, and she was actually living with this guy, cohabiting. And when she came to the church, the Holy Spirit convicted her about living in fornication, living in sin. And so she went home. Well, you can imagine that upset the apple cart for that guy. He didn't like that too well. So he gives me a call on the phone, and he says, I'm going to wait till I see you in a dark alley sometime, and I'm going to beat the pulp out of you. Now, there's a part of me that's a little fleshly, and my ego, my male pride, wanted to rise up and say, all right, Bubba, if you feel froggy, leap. But I didn't. I didn't say that. No. Love constrained me. That's right. I don't even remember what I said, but it was something probably about, hey, I'm not fearful, you know. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, for my righteousness is of the Lord. Amen. And by the way, buddy, you know that God loves you and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Amen. He hung up on me. I remember that. Anyhow, that's the proper response. Not come on, all right, come on, buddy. Let's go. No. He came to church after that, did he? Okay, my wife, it's a long time ago. But anyhow, he was going to punch my lights out. Okay, but you see, You have a revelation of God's love for you, and then applying and complying with the royal law brings magnificent results. You've got God, you're dwelling in love, you're dwelling in God, you've got His protection, right? That's a wonderful place to be. By the way, there's a nice African-American man who is actually the oldest World War II survivor. I don't know if you saw him on TV. Did you see him? 112 years old. He was deployed to New Guinea in World War II. But anyhow, they asked this gentleman, what is the key to longevity, to living long? 112 years old. My, how many would like to live, be a centenarian and live 112 years old? That's very nice. You don't know about that? Okay. You know what? I want to be a centenarian. I want to be around as long as I can because I want to sow every tract, every word of the gospel and get every person in the kingdom that I can. But anyhow, they ask him and he says, here's the keys. Number one, live for God and be kind. He said, serve God and be kind. Key to longevity. And I thought, wow, that's right in line with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Notice what it says there. Ephesians 4, 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He forgave us. We got to forgive others and be kind and tenderhearted. Glory to God. You say, where's the toughest place? Probably in your own home. Back at the ranch. Come on. Isn't that true? The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge and not stupidity. First 2.5 years of my marriage, I was dwelling with my wife according to ignorance and stupidity. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife who is the weaker vessel. But there's a good reason why. It goes on to say, so that your prayers will not be hindered.
That's right.
Woo! Man, I ain't going to fuss with this lady right here because I don't want my prayers hindered.
Amen.
I got too much on the line. I'm believing God for too many things. Glory to God. A roof on a church. We're going to coat the driveway out there. I mean, praise God. I got my faith out there, and I don't want to short circuit my faith. I want to stay in what I call the power zone.
Amen.
When I adhere to the royal law. Well, let's say this is the power zone up here. See, from here to here, this is the power zone, okay? And when you're dwelling in love, you're dwelling in God Himself, and you are dwelling in the, you are a candidate for the power of God to work in your life. I'm talking about the gifts of the Spirit. I'm talking about manifestations. I'm talking about power, supernatural power. When you walk in that zone, in that love realm, and no matter what anybody says to you or does, you make a quality decision. I ain't stepping out of love for nobody, no how, nowhere. And even if they don't walk in love with me, I'm going to walk in love no matter what because I got my eyes on the prize. Glory to God. I'm staying in the power zone. Come on, somebody. Woo! Hallelujah. And so be kind. One to another, tender-hearted, forgiving. Don't hold any grudges. That'll poison your insides. You know, Rockefeller had a problem with his insides. He had one of the Rockefellers, I forget, I don't know if it was John D. or who, but anyhow, he had stomach problems, big time. In fact, he was terminal. And he thought, wow, I'm going to check out. And so he says, I'm just going to love people. And he everywhere he went, he got among people and he gave them money. He helped them out. I think one time he took a bunch of dimes and lined them up for a mile or something like that. I don't know, but he just gave money away. And guess what happened? His stomach got healed. It's true. I'm telling you what love will do. It will transform the atmosphere. I'm getting ahead of myself now. All my points, like I said, crawling through a barbed wire fence, point here and point there. When I taught school, I saw a wonderful transformation. And this had to have been the Lord that gave this to me. Taught in the public schools, it was sixth grade. The first day of school, I don't know if I did this with you guys, Fred, or not, and Gary, but anyhow, I knew I did with my homeroom, anyhow. And I had this big map on the wall. The map was pulled down first day of school. I just sat on the desk and said, okay, now guess what? I don't have a bunch of rules, a bunch of do's and don'ts. I just have one rule, okay? And I'm going to show you. Are you ready for it? How many want to see what the one rule is? Okay, so I take the map and I pull it up, and there it was on the board. Be considerate. Be considerate. And I says, no, I just want, and everything that we do here, we want to be considerate of one another. Be kind, tenderhearted. Be, everybody say, be considerate.
Be considerate.
Now, for example, you throw papers on the floor. Well, does that, you being considerate, I'll say to you, okay, Matt, student Matt, what's my number one rule? He'd say, be considerate. I say, are you being considerate of Mr. Storr, the custodian, by throwing papers on the floor? And this is the way I operated. And I said, okay. Now, one student gets up and offers an answer, and everybody laughs. I said, whoa, 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 what's my number one rule? Be considerate. We're not going to laugh. Everybody has an answer. We're not going to laugh at anybody. And we're going to add value to people. Or maybe somebody was talking while I was talking. I'd say, okay, Joe, what's my number one rule? He said, be considerate. And I'd say, right. So don't talk when I'm talking. I'll try not to talk when you're talking. Okay. Be considerate. Hey, Johnny, what are you slapping him upside the head for? Johnny, what's my number one rule, Johnny? Be considerate. I make them tell me, be considerate. I say, whoa, whoa. Slapping him upside the head is not being considered, is it? No.
Right.
So everything we did, I kept bringing this up. And I'd make them tell me, what's my number one rule? And they'd say, be considerate. I'm telling you, church, listen to me. Within less than 2 months, I had a homeroom. I had kids that were so sweet and looking after one another and caring about one another. And we had a blast. These kids just, I mean, they just were looking out and helping one another. We had all different races in that room. I'm telling you, it was beautiful. That's what the transforming love of Jesus will do. God gave me that idea. That's God's idea. He's pretty resourceful, isn't he? He said, I wonder if that would work in my home with my kids. Why not? Everybody say, be considerate.
Be considerate.
You get them working on that. Oh, what's my number one rule? Make them tell you. Okay. Don't throw your food on the floor then. That's not being considerate. We got to clean it up, right? Or whatever. All right. Don't put that bowl of spaghetti on your head like that. Yeah, because now I got to, is that being considerate? No, I'm kidding. Anyhow, so point number two, complying with the royal law will keep you in the what? Power zone. It'll keep you in the power zone. Yes. John the Revelator. I mean, he was persecuted. They tried to kill him several different ways, could not kill him. I think I heard one way they put him in boiling oil in a vat, and they couldn't kill him, and then they just poured him back out. Exiled him on the Isle of Patmos, and he lived there to a ripe old age, and he during that interim, he wrote the book of Revelation. Glory be to God. The Gospel of John. You remember in John, you recall him, he was considered the apostle of love. Everywhere he went, he told people in the book of John that this is the apostle that God, Jesus, loved, and that was himself. And I'm telling you, concerning Jesus, they tried several times to kill him, and they could not because he was enveloped by God's presence. Staying in love keeps us enveloped by God and gives the devil no inroad into our lives. Demon spirits will not influence your life when you walk in love. Because you'll stay out of strife. And the Bible says where there's envy and strife, there's every evil work. When you get into strife, it opens a door. I tell people who want to get in strife with me, I say, you know what? The servant of the Lord must not strive. I ain't getting into that. The pros and the cons of the vaccination and all this business. I'm not. With relatives sometimes. Anyhow. No, the servant of the Lord must not strive. I can't get into all that. Anyhow. Complying with the royal law will keep you in that zone, that power zone. Ephesians 1, 5, 1 and 2 tells us that we're to be imitators of Christ as dear children. Imitators. Yeah. I forget what the word is in the King James, but it means imitators of Christ as dear children. And what? Walk in love. And guess what? When you do that, when you walk in love like Jesus walked in love, because you're imitating him, guess what? He has miracles and healings. Guess what? You're going to have the same thing, because he says, John 14, 12, the works that I do, you're going to be able to do them too. Absolutely. Amen. And so, hallelujah. The Lord will keep you. He'll protect you when you walk in love and dwell in the power zone. His intervention, his gifts of the Spirit will go to work on your behalf. Expect God to empower you for every situation when you walk in love. Now listen, Jesus was criticized. You're going to get criticized. That's part of the suffering that a Christian goes through, is walking in love. The Bible says love suffers long. How many have found that to be true? You walk in love no matter what. No, I ain't getting out of that. Nope, somebody tries to hook your flesh or try to flip your switch and get you out of the spirit realm into the natural, carnal, fleshly realm. You say, I ain't going there. No, there's too much at stake. I got my faith on the line for many things. I'm staying in the power zone. I'm going to walk in the royal law. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So they did this with Jesus, criticized him concerning the woman caught in adultery, and he didn't respond. He just stooped down on the ground and began to write in the sand, and one by one his critics left. Angry people one time surrounded Jesus, and he just slipped away out of their sight. Where did he go? Which way did he go? They didn't. Yeah. Power of God. Look at Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs 25. Those of you watching out there, we welcome you. Glad you're watching with us today. And remember, Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Proverbs chapter 25. Look at this. Proverbs 25. Oh, I can taste those pancakes. No, I'm getting in the flesh there. Sorry. Proverbs 25, verse 21 says, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. I mean, no, the Bible says we're to pray for our enemies. Are those of you who have enemies, are you praying for them? That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. Pray for your enemies. And do good unto them who despitefully use you. All right. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. This is your enemy. You're to give him bread and water. Remember in the Civil War, Battle of Fredericksburg, there was a lady that who was part of the Confederacy, and she heard the Union soldiers out there in the field groaning at night because they'd been wounded. She took water and bread and took them out to them, to those soldiers. That was the enemy to her, Union soldiers. But anyhow, here's what's going to happen when you do that. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward you. I said the Lord shall reward you. Something supernatural is going to happen. Miracles, healings, the supernatural intervention of God when you what? When you do good things to people. They're not nice to you, send them a nice card. Send them a box of candy. Huh? Send them a gift or something. Or call and leave them a nice message. But don't get on Facebook and rip them apart. Come on now. That ain't walking in love. No, you're going to short circuit the power of God if you do that. So it's no so much better when he jumps in the middle of your mess with his deity powers and brings a reward. Don't miss the reward. Stay in the power zone. Everybody say the power zone. Now you see, the gifts of the Spirit function according to love, because if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the two classic scriptures are chapters on the gifts of the Spirit, what's sandwiched right in between 1 Corinthians 13? Amen. The love chapter. And so 1 Corinthians 14 starts out by saying, have love and desire spiritual gifts. Have love and desire spiritual gifts. Because if you're walking in love, the gifts are going to become prolific in your life. Come on. I said, if you're walking in love, the gifts of the Spirit are going to function pretty readily in your life. Amen. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. Number three, we must be determined in spite of our flesh. Now listen, we all have flesh. And the Bible says in Romans 7:18, there ain't no good thing in my flesh. And that means mine too. See, I'm tempted to sin the same as you. And I got to resist sin the same as you. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, and by the power and the authority that I have in the name of Jesus, I've got to resist it the same as you. And knowing that God loves me, he gives me the grace and the Holy Ghost power to overcome that temptation. Romans 8:13, how we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh. Plus, well, anyhow, how about this one? Remember Philippians 2:13, we mentioned it last week. For it's God that works in you to will and to do his good pleasure. God is working in you. You're constrained by his love, 2 Corinthians 5:14. You're urged, you're inspired, you're motivated by his love to pass out those tracts and do those things and to be others conscious, not always self-conscious and selfish. By the way, you're going to have a chance to put this into play, into action today out at the pavilion. Reach out to some people at the pavilion when we're eating those pancakes and look for somebody that you can encourage or add some value to their life. Do something to build them up, edify them. Don't go out there and say, well, here I am. I'm glad you got to see me. No. No, yeah, don't take that pancake. I'll stab your finger. No. No. Instead, do this. Oh, there you are. So glad to see you. That's what you want to say.
That's right, Pastor.
There you are. So glad to see you. Practice that way. Say that with me. There you are. So glad to see you. Amen. It's getting our mind off of ourselves. Don't give. And see, love himself abides in you. And he is the one that inspires us and motivates us. See? Don't give that person a piece of your mind or chew them out. You don't have that much to give them. Left over, yeah. No, just kidding. Listen, have you ever been in traffic? I have. And one time a lady flipped me the bird. But I didn't respond like a heathen. I wanted to. But being a Christian, see, there are only so many ways you can respond and remain in the power zone. So the love of God in you is bigger. And so you can say, bless her, Lord, amen. Go to heaven.
Amen.
Whatever. Anyhow, the love of God in you is bigger than the hate God in this world. So the royal law, see, we're living in that, put you in the power zone. And listen, I'm believing God for big things. So I am not going to go crosswise to the royal law. And we must be determined in spite of our flesh. And that's really what balks us. Everybody has flesh, and that's the thing that keeps us from walking in love when we don't feel like it. But we got to be determined. I cannot afford to unload on this person because I'll jam up the power of God. Listen, there'll be people in your life that'll rub you the wrong way. They'll try to hook you or your emotions, but you got to resist that. Amen. You can expect a miracle and a breakthrough, a supernatural intervention by the favor of God because love himself is at work in you. Now listen, qualify something. That does not mean that you have to continuously hang out with people that are going to constantly devalue you or ridicule or despise you or be rude to you. Carnal people that are a source of constant irritation, we just love them at a distance. Hi, how are you? Good to see you. God doesn't expect you to subject yourself to their terror and their abuse. Forgive them, pray for them, because we're to pray for your enemies, and you will abide in the secret place of the Most High. Hallelujah. Number four. I'm quitting right now. Our prayers and our faith walk are at their optimum when we walk in the royal law. Yeah, well, there are certain people that I'm not going to speak to, and I don't like them. Well, listen, you may be jeopardizing your miracle or your open door to a career promotion. Because the Bible says the devil takes you captive at his will when we get out of love. So avoid strife. Amen. Jesus said in John 13, 34, he says, a new commandment I give unto you. Have you got the Ten Commandments? But he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, verse 35, because you have love one for another. Now listen, that does not mean you don't do what's right, or you don't, you know, when someone rips you off, I mean, you don't stand up for, you know, what's yours and to make things right. I'm not saying just be a doormat, but the Lord will show you the balance in that. Because there will be times you'll say, yeah, I'll be a doormat here. Or no, other times, you know, just be led by the Spirit. But listen to this. Yeah, work out your own salvation. But the badge of the new creation is love. When I see you loving one another, that tells me, boy, that dude is a Christian. Or that lady is a Christian. And listen, you got to love the world, but you also got to love the person that's sitting next to you at church. Or at the dinner table. You got to love them too, right? And loving your own home, as we said. Oh, hallelujah. Well, let's stop right there. Stand with me, please. Glory be to God. So don't forget today, the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:17 that we can let this love be perfected in us. Do you know what that word perfected means? Perfected means to let his love run its full course in you.
Amen.
To let his love run its full course in you. Let Jesus live his loving life through you. And that's being letting his love be perfected, and let him love himself touch everyone through you. Amen? With this white-heated love. And let me I say one other thing. Love will fertilize the soil so that that person will receive the incorruptible seed, the Word of God. The soil of their heart. Love will open them up when you do that nice deed for them, and or you help them move, or you take them some groceries, or whatever that love act is, it's going to soften their heart so that they're more readily going to receive the seed, the incorruptible seed, the Word of God. It fertilizes the soil. Oh, Father, thank you so much. You're so good. Father, we lift our hands to heaven. Musicians, come on up. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray over this food right now, this spiritual food that we've just received. We thank you for it, Father, that the enemy will not steal this word that was sown in our heart. And we thank you today, Father, we are cognizant of your love for us, this amazing, everlasting love that we want to know the breadth, the length, the width, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. Hallelujah. And Father, let it flow through us. Let us be perfected in us. Run its full course in us, oh God. Thank you, Lord. How many are more determined today than ever that you're going to walk in love no matter if the Arctic freezes over again, right? Whatever. Or if the devil gets a stomach virus, whatever. You're going to, no matter what, we're going to walk in love, right? No matter what. Amen. The royal law. It's wonderful. Father, we love you. And those of you who, let's just all pray this prayer together. Mean it from your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart, Jesus is the Son of God. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I want to re-enlist in your army. An army of lovers. Thank you for it, Father, that the love of God is being shed abroad in my heart. By the Holy Ghost. And I'm a new creation. I'm a love creation of a love God. And I want to live in love. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Come on, let's shout to Jesus today. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Woo! Yes, thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Oh, let's worship him as we go.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.